This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
For the 2023-2024 season, the West Ham Way podcast is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game. Green King Sport's venues are showing every televised West Ham fixture over the course of the season. So instead of turning to the internet for a dodgy stream, get your mates together and go down to your local Green King pub and get closer to the action. Green King Sport have just recently launched the Green King Sport Instagram page, which will be the home to fan content, deals and competitions throughout the season. Drop them a follow and you won't just be the first to know about all this, you'll be helping out the West Ham Way.
You're listening to the West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X. Oi, oi!
Hello and welcome to the West Ham Way podcast with myself, Dave Walker, an ex-WHU employee. This week we're reflecting our loss at Anfield, our time in Liverpool and our opening game in the Europa League before getting news from X and answering questions from patrons of the West Ham Way. Two games for the Hammers last week. Let's start with our trip to Anfield yesterday. Always a tough place to go. What did you make of the performance and the result?
The performance, you know, first half was decent. We had a couple of chances that we really need to take. And this is our continuous problem. At Anfield, it happened last year, happened this year, it's happened years gone by, that we get chances and we don't take them. And then they end up taking theirs and the result is a win to them. And it happens so regularly and it's so frustrating because we did create chances and we played quite well. But as always, we missed the opportunities. They took theirs. And that was the difference between getting a result there and not.
Yeah, it was. I think we started well. And I think you hit the nail on the head in terms of taking your chances. I mean, you could say that about any game you play, but especially when you play against a top six side, you have to take your chances. And we did have chances. We did. I mean, if you look at, you know, the Souček chance, for example, great cross from Lucas, great save, to be fair, from their keeper.
Yeah.
Antonio, fucking hell,
disaster.
Mate.
Disaster.
I mean, we were there in the stands, right, and it looked bad. But when you look at it on telly, I'm thinking, what is he fucking doing?
I know.
Antonio. I mean, I'm trying to be kind, and I want to say he's at least got rid of the target. But, mate, to be honest, when you look at it time after time after time, I think that's generous. I think he's got a score. But actually, what he delivers is pretty much a throw-in for the other fucking side.
Yeah.
And it's typical Antonio. I don't want to dig him out. I really don't. But fucking hell, like, he's either world-class or the world's worst player. And in situations like that, when you have to take the chances at Anfield, fucking hell. I mean, he's so frustrating, actually.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was an absolutely dreadful miss. As you say, it was nowhere near the target. I don't know how he's managed to get it so wrong again. And as you say, he gets it so wrong, so regularly, and so right, so regularly as well. So yeah. it's just a very, very frustrating player. When he's got time like he had then, and he's got, like, and it's not instinctive, that's when he's at his worst. He's at his best when it's like the ball falls here, and he's got to react quickly with that, because he was on his own. And obviously, the cross was kind of flowing. He had a couple of seconds to think what he was going to do with it, and that's where he messes up. And like, he just needs to almost not think. If he could like somehow switch off any form of life in his head and just literally go on instincts, then he'd be a much better player. And it's just so frustrating, because like, you think to yourself, like, you know, like you just said there, on his day, he can be brilliant. Like, he can terrorise the defenders. You know, the amount of times he's got the ball and he's being kicked all over the place by four of their defenders or whatever, and he still comes out with the ball and creates opportunities. And he's, you know, the amount of times that other opposition centre-backs say he's a nightmare to play against, and sometimes you think, well, he's brilliant. And then it's just times like that. If he could just have more composure in the penalty area, I mean, like we've said again, he probably wouldn't play for West Ham, because he'd play for a top club. But yeah. that lack of composure and that lack of ability to put chances away consistently, you know, he's our all-time top Premier League goal scorer. Imagine how many goals he could have had if he actually took most of the chances he gets. Like, you know, it'd be in hundreds by now. And it's so frustrating. And then, you know, Gerard Bowen obviously scored a header, but then he missed an easy header in the second half as well. Yeah. And, you know, that's two. I mean, Suchek's, I think, was a good save. So I think Suchek pretty much did what he needs to do. He was quite a long way out, put it down well, so you can't blame Suchek for his one. But the Antonio and the Bowen ones both should have been scored, and you know, that's two goals at Anfield, and you know, we would have been ahead when Antonio missed his. So you know, it's just so frustrating at times. It really is. And you know, we've got one win at Anfield in 50 odd years. I think the stat was something like four wins in that since 1914. At Anfield. It's just, I just don't understand it. I mean, obviously Liverpool were a dominant force for most of their existence, so it is a hard place to go to. But to have that bad a record is unbelievable, really.
Well, it is, and again, it comes down to chances. You have to take your chances, because if you take that first half alone, so I know Jared's came in the second half and he should have scored that. He's put it straight down the keeper's throat. Fair play, but it is what it is. But the first half, you know, if we would have converted those two chances alongside the goal that we'd already scored, you know, that's three goals there at Anfield. That forces their hand. And Liverpool are already attacking. They already have an attacking philosophy because they're at home and they're against West Ham. They believe they're a better side and they're putting it on us, right? But if we go 3-0, 3-1 up, it forces their hand even more so, to a point where they have to almost go gun-o and lob everyone forward. And at that point, that massively plays into the hands of the system we play, because we're a counter-attacking side. So we actually almost like inviting pressure to then go and counter-attack to score even more goals. So if those goals go in, it's a fucking game-changer. And I know I'm stating the obvious here, but it is literally about taking your chances. And unfortunately, we didn't do that.
No, and also we didn't defend their chances well enough either. If you think the first goal was a penalty, and yes, it was a penalty, but it is still a penalty that we've conceded, and he probably would have scored. The way it looked, he'd cut in. I think it's a difficult one to be too critical, but then their second goal, where they've just lofted it over our defence again, which is very similar to the goal against Manchester City that we conceded. You know, we probably could have defended that goal better. Yes, it's a good finish, but still, he's had, you know, time to float that ball over the defence, having cut it out. Keepers came off his line. I think things could have been done better again. So, again, it's soft goals conceded and not taking your chances. And you just can't do that against Liverpool. You know, they're too, it's the same as Man City. These sorts of teams, you've got to take them. And, yeah, it's just frustrating. It's not the end of the world. The way to look at it is, you know, it's frustrating based on how we played, but we never get anything from Anfield anyway. When you look at the fixtures, one of the fixtures that you always write off is that one at Anfield. You know, because of the history that we've had at Anfield, you kind of know that you're unlikely to get something there. Same with Man City, you kind of know that you're unlikely to get something against them. So the key now is to put both those results to bed now. We've got them out of the way early on. We're still sitting nicely in the table, you know, and if we can beat Sheffield United, which, you know, given on what they've just gone through at the weekend, you would hope we would, then things are back on track. Get a win against them, and still the league table's looking decent at this period of time. So it's frustrating based on the performance and what we should have got from the game, but in the context of black and white and what the important games for our season, it isn't the most important ones we've got something from.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Naya Figuerd, because when you look at the penalty, it's one of those, isn't it, where it's a split second decision, and you can say, well, look, he's just acted on momentum, he's acted on instinct. But for me, at the same time, if you've done your research, you know Mo Salah, you know he likes to cut in on the left. And you're in the penalty box and you're sticking out a leg, you're always taking a risk.
Oh, because he dives as well. So any contact is going to go down.
Well, he does. So you know that, right? Mm. So you have to be extra cautious because of that, for example. Mm. But I don't know. With Naif, I love him. I think he's got so many good attributes to his game. I really, really do. I like him. I think he's a solid centre-half. However, and I don't know if you and the listeners agree with this, but my only concern about Naif is that he's potentially the Ben Rama of our defence. In a sense that he will be a world beater one day and be a liability the next day. And I don't know if you agree with that.
But I'd say more like Antonio.
Possibly.
World-class and then a disastrous mistake.
Yeah. I mean, however you paint it, I think, by the sounds of things, we're on the same page in that respect. Yeah. So in that respect, is it the time to bring Mavropanos in? Because I'm not being funny. The club we signed him from, he was doing fantastically well. Greece, his form is fantastic. He's even scoring goals as a centre-half. He scored 2 goals in his last fucking game at Greece. Yeah. He looks solid. Against Bakatopola, I thought he was absolutely outstanding.
Yeah.
So is it the time to bring him in over Naif, or is that harsh?
It is harsh, but I think the benefit of having a squad that we have now is that you can make harsh decisions, and ultimately they benefit the squad. You know, if you're dropping him for, you know, an academy player, then it would have been very harsh, but you're not. You're dropping him for a player that is, as you said, a Greek international, someone that's smashed up the German league, been voted one of the best centre-backs in that league, has been brought over as one of our summer signings, has looked good in the one game that he has played. I think actually for me, especially as it's Sheffield United as well, so you're taking a chance replacing Aguero with Mavropanos, but if you're going to take a chance, the best time to take it is against a team that's been thumped 8-0 surely. So I personally would actually bring Mavropanos in for Aguero for that game. And then you've got the Lincoln game after, you've got the Lincoln game before. I would have Mavropanos probably in that for fitness. And then after that, you've got a European game after the Sheffield United game. So Aguero could come in for that. But either way, for Sheffield United, I think Mavropanos should go in ahead of Aguero personally now. Because otherwise, there's, when you've made two mistakes like he has against the last two games, and I seem to have a memory that there was another one as well that I'm forgetting, but certainly those two. If you know, you don't want to ruin someone's confidence, but at the same time, you need to promote, in my eyes, that there's strength in the squad. And if Mavropanos sees this and then still can't get in, he's going to start to think, well, why have I joined this team if I'm just going to sit on the bench, when clearly this is my opportunity now. So I think you have to handle Aguero sensitively, but I think you need to say to him, look, you're giving for this game, you know, you've got Steph, Mavropanos is going to come in and we'll see how he does, but you've got games in Europe and others coming up to prove that it should be you, and then you've got them fighting for their place, but you have to manage them sensitively, because Aguero probably sees himself as one of our best players. So if he's then getting dropped, you've got to manage that properly, or you get disunity in the squad.
Mm. Well, on a positive note, a superb equaliser, by the way. I mean, it started with a fucking great ball from Lucas. Excellent link-up play from Jared. Nice little layer from Mickey. Decent cross from Vlad. Excellent old-school header. We don't see enough of them in the game, do we? Excellent old-school header. Very brave, very tenacious from Jared Bowen. And it's what we deserved at that time. And at that time, X, you think you've got half a chance, don't you?
Yeah, it was a good ball from Schaffel, and to be fair to him, that's another floated cross that's led to a goal. So he's obviously getting the floated crosses right. If he could add whipped crosses, because there was one certainly in the second half, where I thought just whip it in and he just tried to float it again. If he could get the mixture between his crossing, that could be a real asset to his game. But obviously floating crosses, that's two games now where he's got assists from. So fair play to him. It was a great goal. Gerrard did well. I didn't actually think Gerrard played that well, to be fair, but still he's come out with a goal, a brave goal, and fair play to him. You know, at the end of the day, you can take him having an off game if he's still going to contribute like he did. So and obviously he was on the back of being ill all week as well, so he's got that excuse too. But yeah, it was a good goal, and you know, as I said, we were playing well. You know, there's a couple of times, you know, credit to Suchek's ball for Antonio was spot on as well. Antonio didn't take it, and so we're getting better at picking players out in the box. But yeah, it's the same old, we just don't take them all the time.
I think Suchek's become a better player without Rice, you know.
I was going to say that. I don't know if it's necessarily because of Rice, but certainly this season he's looked back to the Suchek that we first had. You know, he's getting more involved in the game now. I actually haven't looked to back this up stats-wise, but I'd be surprised if the stats don't back me up. I think he's much more involved in the game now. He's getting chances. Obviously, he scored in Europe. He threw a very good save. He would have scored against Liverpool. Defensively, he was offering stuff. He created stuff. He seems a bit more... like, his body language seems a lot more positive at the moment as well, and he seems a lot more like a proper player. Now, last year, honestly, at times I just genuinely questioned how anyone could ever think about picking him, but this season, I think he's looked a lot better this season, and it's good because, you know, you talk about we signed four players for Declan Rice leaving. Well, arguably, we might have four and a half now because Suchek's playing a lot better as well.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Absolutely. How do you feel about Lucas on the wing?
I don't like it personally. For me, wingers, when you're like, need to be wingers that hog the flank. So they sort of get down that wing, they take people on, they cut in, they put their crosses, they cut in to get shots in. Piquetta always drifts into the centre, which he's naturally going to do because that's his natural position where he's played all his career, where he plays for his national team. And I'm not a fan of it. But the problem is, if you're going to try to accommodate Alvarez, who you can't drop, Ward-Prowse, who you can't drop, Piquetta, who you can't drop, and Suchek, who would be the one I would drop, but that would be incredibly harsh, then it's the only way you're going to accommodate them all, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Hog the flank. I thought you were talking to Cockney Rhymey slang for a minute.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a phrase. What did I say? Hog the flank. Yeah, I think that does make sense, I think.
It made sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're always standing on the wing, hogging it, always there, like, making that your position. No, I think it does, in a roundabout way, makes sense, I think.
To summarise, in my opinion, it was a game of taking chances, and I'm stating the obvious there, but especially when you go away from home against a decent team, you've got to take your chances, and we did have them, and I suppose you can take a positive in the sense that we created them, we could have scored them. If we'd have scored them on a different day, it could have been a great day. But we didn't, and it is what it is. You know, it's Liverpool away. We never get anything from Anfield, and it is just one of those things, unfortunately. But, X, we didn't just go for the game. We went there on Saturday, and we spent some time in Liverpool. And I don't really know where to start with this, because in a run-up to going to Liverpool, right, so we've been to Liverpool before, and we've had some fucking mad nights out in Liverpool, by the way, fucking mad nights out. But with this one, I'm being told that our good friend, our very good friend, Chesney Hawkes, just so happens to be playing in Liverpool. So he's gigging in Liverpool on the Saturday night. at an event called Pop World. Now, for those that don't understand Pop World, the concept of Pop World is they pull all the of the sort of best-selling artists from the 90s and bring them all together to put on a show for everyone. So it's Blue, it's Peter Andre, it's Steps, it's people like Chairs, it's Ronan Keating. In fact, I've literally just given you the lineup for that night.
Who else could it be?
Yeah, exactly. So for me, when I heard that, and I heard that we got two tickets on the guest list to go and see Chairs, firstly, I was very appreciative that Chairs had done that. Secondly, I'd love to have seen Chairs live because I'd never seen him live before. And like I say, we think a lot of him, so we want to show our support. So I'm up for it in that respect. And then I'm thinking selfishly, because then I'm thinking, okay, what time is he on? How much of this shit have I got to watch? And I'm not talking about Chesney Set, by the way. That's very good.
I really hope he's not listening to this.
Chesney Set aside. Yeah, I have to be very clear on this. Chesney Set aside, how much of this have I got to watch? Is this an all-nighter? I'm hoping not. You know, selfishly, I want to go and see Chez. I think he's very talented. He's now got his son, Indy, playing with him, which is beautiful. The band are good, are great boys. And actually, to be fair, and I'm being straight with you now, they do make some decent music, Chesney Hawkes. Obviously, he's famous for the one and only, but, you know, skipping forward to the night itself, I thought they smashed the set. But anyway, I am thinking selfishly, and I'm thinking, okay, so what point is he on? Are we going to have to get there early and sit through 2-3 hours before he gets on, blah, blah, blah? And, you know, I'm thinking selfishly. Then a text come through from Chez saying, boys, I'm on at 6:45. Get there early. I'm opening the show. Now I'm thinking, fucking hell, that's a touch. Because if we get there at 6:45 and he does half hour, which he told us he was doing, we can support Chez, enjoy Chez. And then you're out at 7:15 and the night's your own, right? So I'm thinking that's a result. Now, naively, I'm thinking X is on the same page because with all due respect to all of the groups that night, that concept and that 90s cheese, if you like, is my worst nightmare. I'm not into it. I don't like it, right?
Says the man who goes to Celine Dion concerts.
Well, I was due to until she cancelled it. But to be fair...
And
be
George fair, Michael.
To be fair, listen, don't diss George, mate. You're taking it to another level now. If you want a problem, mate, if you want a problem on your hands, you talk to me about George Michael, right? Put some respect in that geezer's name. I love George Michael. And for the record, Celine Dion was... you know, I was taking mum for the wife, really. So, but when it comes to 90s cheese, it's not my cup of tea at all. Now, I naively assumed from the get-go that X was on the same page, right? So I'm thinking, okay, he's on at 6:45. He's going to finish at 7:15. Worst case, we're out there at 7:30. We'd have enjoyed Chesney, and now the night's our own. Now... we've jumped in a cab, me and X, and it's a bit of a fluster because we actually got to Liverpool at 6 o'clock and we literally gave ourselves 10 minutes to have a quick change of clothes and then we're straight out again. Now, we've got to the M&S Arena in Liverpool and the queues are fucking massive, by the way, and we've got to collect our tickets that were provided by Chez and we've joined this queue and X, bless him, in true X form, is stressing a little bit about time. So we're in the queue, and he said to me, Dave, he said, when we get through security, he said, you know, we're going to have to run to our seat because we're going to miss it. And I said to him, X, I ain't being funny, mate. We already look like a pair of cunts just being here. I said, there's no fucking way I'm running to my seat to see Chesney Hawkes perform. Right? That ain't happening, right?
Oh, see, Chesney, there's only one of us that is your true fan here.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. But I thought there's no fucking way. As much as I love Ches, I ain't fucking sprinting to my seat. Because let's be fair, X, right? If you look at the queue, and it was a massive queue, it's full of birds, yeah?
We like... And you're complaining?
What? Oh, God, no. I wasn't complaining in that respect.
Exactly.
But where I'm complaining is we're standing in the queue looking like two fucking geezers that are a couple that are having a midlife crisis, right? And now you're asking me to run to my fucking seat to watch Chesney Alts. I mean, just think about that for a minute. I didn't buy into that at all, right? So anyway, we've eventually got to our seat and we have watched him and he was absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Is he worth running for?
Well, I'm gonna give myself a bit of a pass on this question when I say that we didn't actually need to, because we thought we needed to, but actually when it came to coming to our seat, there was a bit of a delay and we didn't need to run. So we saw him live, yeah? Chesney, brilliant. The boys, brilliant. Fantastic. But what I didn't know, and this is where my naivety comes into play, because I've known X for a long time now, is X didn't share my pain at potentially going into this 90s night. He fucking loves that shit. So
that's a bit of an exaggeration.
Oh, you do? I mean, I've got to say, mate, we're in this queue, right? We're in this queue. And I don't know, right? At this point, I don't know if X is winding me up.
Of course, Barnaby was teasing you because it was so
funny. I'm not having it. Because at one point, right, you showed... Because I said to you, right, because you're bigging it up and you're saying, oh, you know, I'm up for doing an all-nighter and I want to see all the bands, all that. I said, X, you're having a fucking laugh, mate. And I said, please tell me you're fucking joking. I said, we'll watch Chez and we'll go, eh? And he's like, well, no, you know, I'd like to stick around for a bit and all that. I said, oh, X, come on, mate. I said, you're fucking joking. And at this point in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, I don't know if he's being serious or not. I can't work him out if he's winding me up or not, right? So then he shows me a text message to his wife. And he sends me, he shows me this fucking message, right? And he sent his wife the flyer for the event we're about to go into. And his wife responds with, that's right up your street, isn't it?
She was being sarcastic.
Well, you say that. At that point, I knew I was fucked. Right. When I saw that message, I knew I was fucked, right? So then I'm thinking, do you know what? To be fair, and I'm bigging you up here now, X actually puts himself out for me quite a lot. Like, he does a lot of the driving.
Six years it's taken for this moment.
On a one-to-one, I always thank you. But, to be fair, you can say whatever you want now, mate.
You can call me Blue's biggest fan. I finally cracked him.
Oh, I'm not having that. I'm very appreciative. But, you know, when it comes to away days, he does all the driving. He puts up with a lot of my nonsense on a night out. And, you know, he's as good as gold, X. So part of me thinks, whilst I'm fucking devastated that I've got to spend a fucking entire night in Liverpool listening to Peter Andre and fucking Claire from Steps, I owe it to him, really. So I left it in his hands.
To be fair, Claire from Steps wasn't on my wish list. Neither was Peter Andre particularly either. They just happened to be on the agenda that was already there. Like, if he had said to me, right, mate, do you want to go to a concert? It's Claire from Steps and Peter Andre. I'd be like, no, you're all right. I think I'll leave that. So I wasn't particularly buzzy about them. Bass Hunter was a massive disappointment from my memories. And unless I completely have twisted my memory somewhere, I'm sure I saw him in Ibiza and he was actually quite good, but that was clearly not the vibe I was looking for. And Ronan Keating, we only watched one song from. I don't think we watched one song and we left, so it was Blue that had my heart. And before you go too far with all of this, Dave, I shall warn you, I have a video of you singing along and dancing to Blue.
No. Right, okay, yes, so I have an instant response, right?
Yes.
So by the way, I have a video of you singing to Let It Go by Frozen. So, you know, if you want to play this card, mate, if you want to bring war, you've got a war.
That was part of the me trying to sort of make you sort of like, think I was absolutely loving it, think that I'd done all night. Because I'm going to be honest with you, Let It Snow from Frozen is not... What was it called?
Fucking hell, Let It Snow. Let's go.
It's about snow, isn't it? So that'd be more appropriate. Let It Snow.
Let It Snow, that is brilliant.
Okay, Let It Go. So that shows how much knowledge I have of that song. It's not a song I would particularly choose to listen to in my car. So the fact that I was singing along was to try and, like, jab you a little bit with how much fun I was having at your expense.
Okay, so in my defence, right, Blue performed a song called Too Close, yeah? And now I am, when I grew up, I was always part of a family that loved reggae, ska, soul, all that kind of stuff. And then sort of in later years, I liked a lot of the American 90s R&B artists, yeah? And one of them was Next, a group called Next. And they sang a song called Too Close. And sure as shit, Blue covered that. And actually, to be fair to them, did a half decent job. But the reason you caught me singing along to that was because it took me back to the time when I heard a proper band perform it, and I was reliving my youth, so to speak. So I've got
debatable.
You.
Debatable. Debatable.
It's not. It's a fucking fact. I'm telling you.
We still had a good time. You're just playing hard to get with this because you don't want to admit that you actually enjoyed it.
I mean, musically, I've got to be honest, I found it a bit tough. The thing is, X, you know, I go back to what I was saying, mate, and you know, I have to be strong on this. You do put yourself out for me a lot, and I do genuinely, I'm publicly saying this, you know, you do at times put up with a bit of shit, and you do sort of look after me, and you do. So I owed it to you. So I didn't want to sort of like literally sit there in a pit of depression. but at the same time, yeah, you know, it was a lively night. It was an energetic night. I was constantly conscious that people were talking about us behind us because, fuck me, mate, I'll tell you what, if you're a single man, which me and you ain't, Pop World is the fucking place to be.
Yeah, so what's the problem with sitting in a crowd with all of these drunk women wearing next to nothing?
Oh, mate, it's unbelievable.
I reckon there's quite a few blokes listening to this wishing they were on the same night out as us.
No doubt. Yeah. And to be fair, if you're single, Pop World is the fucking place. Because it was, honestly, I'd like to say I'm a happily married man, but it was fucking wall to wall. You know, never mind your night out, fucking go to Pop World and you're in your element. Like fucking Willy Wonka's fucking chocolate factory.
And we had some funny incidents while we were there as well.
Well, we did. And that then brings me on to my perception of Liverpool, right? Now I understand. Especially in this day and age, in 2023, you can't say fuck all about anything. You can't say nothing about no cunt, right? But
I will so say... well explained. I love your way of words. Can't say fuck all about no cunt. those GCSEs in English are doing you so well right now, mate.
Yeah. But at the same time, am I wrong?
You are right, yeah.
Right, okay. So this then brings me on to Liverpool, right? Now, this is where I have to be a bit careful, but at the same time, that's just a sort of lame disclaimer. I'm actually going to ruin Liverpool, what I'm about to say. And listen, apologies if we've got any fans or listeners of the show that live in Liverpool or have an affiliation with Liverpool or whatever your ties to Liverpool may be. But fuck me, Liverpool is a weird place, X. I mean, I've got to be honest, I don't actually know where to start, right? So me and X have been to Liverpool a couple of times and we've had a decent night out. But even when we've had a decent night out, it's, and don't get me wrong, in itself, it's a beautiful thing because it's multicultural. Liverpool is a city that doesn't discriminate. You've got fat, thin, black, white, fucking, you know, whatever you are, it's accepted in Liverpool, which is great. It really is great. But fuck me, is it a weird place. And I've got to say, Scousers, fucking Scousers, really strange people. really strange people. And I'm sorry, X. I don't actually know how much trouble I'm going to get in for saying this, but I don't know what they put in the fucking water up there, right? But they are fucking nuts, Scout. And do you know what it is? It's the unnecessary aggression in Scousers. I've never seen anything like it. Now, listen, I've been all over the country. I've been all over Europe, mainly with West Ham, mainly with you. I've never seen a group of people that I can talk about, like I can talk about Scousers. It's the strangest thing. They're so fucking aggressive. They literally just like they can argue with themselves. I don't understand it. They constantly got the ump. And do you know what? We was there for one night, X, weren't we? One night. But there's so many examples. So many examples. I mean, when we're queuing up for this fucking pop world, right? And honestly, I felt like a right prick. And to a point where I think people behind us were thinking, what's the dynamic between those two? Do you reckon who's bumming who? And
you know, why can't we just be two mates going to a 90s concert? Why does one of us have to be bumming the other one?
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, I don't think people believe that. I think there was people were thinking me and you were something, you know, more than friends.
Well, maybe they're through on that one. Maybe we just haven't revealed that yet.
Well, you know, we'll leave that to the listener to decide. But, you know, we're in a queue. Right, and X has got a bit of a stress on. He's trying to convince me that we have to sprint to our seat to see Chesney Oaks at this point.
And, Chesney, I'm pleased to say that I do love you that much.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay. I'll give you that. But, you know, we're in this queue, and there is a professional cameraman that's clearly been hired by the event to scan through the crowd to get the atmosphere, yeah? So to generate the atmosphere, to get the buzz, to this and the other. Now, I saw him coming a mile off. And when he got to us, I'm like, fucking hell, I already feel like a fucking mega pedo in this queue. I ain't going to be
why
seen
Why have we gone from being gay and bummy each other to being paedophiles now just because he went to a 90s music concert?
I'm just telling you how I felt, right? Now, I'm not saying you should have felt that way, but this
next?
Is how
mass,
I felt.
Mass murderers, serial killers, what else have we done just like a 90s concert? Jimmy Savile's best mate.
Now, I'm already feeling like I'm massively into bestiality in this show. And this cameraman's scanning across the crowd and he's saying, all right, girls, all right, boys, come on, how are you feeling about tonight? You're up for it and all that. He's trying to get fucking generate an atmosphere, trying to get some energy and all that. And this is fucking... at any point, right, you clarify if I'm lying. Yeah, because you were there every step of the way. He's scanning across. Right, I can see this cunt coming. I'm like, fuck me. I already don't want to be in this queue, but 1,000,000%, because I'm on the outside, I'm on this camera. If he comes across and he wants to talk to me or whatever. So I get on the phone. I pretend to be on a fucking phone. I'm on a fucking moody phone call now, right? But in front of us is this probably 17-year-old. Now, this cameraman, who obviously has the best of intentions, he just wants to create the best of content, is scanning across and he gets his 17-year-old boy. He's put the camera in his face and this fucking 17-year-old, and this is what I mean about Scousers, and by the way, we haven't even got going yet, right? This is one example of many, and remember, we're there one night, right? This is the first example we can give you. The cameraman scanning across, and he gets this 17-year-old kid. He goes, "All right, lad, you up for it tonight?" And straight away, this 17-year-old goes, "Get the fucking camera up my face now!" And the cameraman goes, "You are. Get that fucking camera out my fucking face, right?" He's like, and do you know what the mad thing was? Right, this cameraman has been hired on a corporate basis. He should be the epitome of professionalism. He should concentrate on content. He should be good with people. He should hold himself in the highest of regard, right? Instead of him just saying, "Oh, okay, mate, sorry, I apologise," and this is what I mean about Scousers, he goes to him, "You what?" And the other guy goes, "Get that fucking camera out of my face." He said, "I'll fucking see you inside." It's a fucking cameraman saying that. The cameraman has gone to him, "I'll fucking see you inside," right? Which is quite a sinister remark, right? Now, the funny fucking thing. Now, you got to remember, me and X are behind this kid and his mum, by the way. So this kid has been, has come to Pop World with his mum, right? Now, his mum is saying, "Liam, listen, calm down, look, it's not worth it. Come on, let's just get in the inn and have a nice time," right? The mum just blatantly wants to see Ronan Keating and she doesn't want her son to fuck this up for her, right? She's obviously fucking saved up for fucking 9 months to come and see Ronan Keating. So he's like, no, fuck that. He said, "He wants to see me inside. I'll fucking put him in hospital, the cunt." And he's like, "No, Liam, come on, love. Just leave it, love, leave it." And at that point, he's gone, "No, fuck it." He said, "Give me the fucking front door keys. I'm going home." "Oh, no, Liam, don't do that. Come on, Liam, come on. Fucking, we've been waiting months for this, Liam. Come on. No, I'm going home, fuck it. He wants to fucking see me inside, yeah? I'll fucking put him in hospital, the cunt." And we're standing there looking at each other thinking, fuck, is this actually happening, right? So then we go in, right? Thankfully, we haven't had to run to our seats. We've casually strolled to our seats as what is clearly a couple to everyone else. I mean, they're blatantly thinking me and X is married. We're having some sort of sordid affair, whatever it may be. So we've taken our seats.
Why do they not think these things when we go on an open-top bus tour together? Why is this just a 90s concert?
Well, you say that, but it's in context, isn't it? I mean, you go to a 90s pop concert as a 40-year-old or someone in your 40s, and you go with your mate, and you're surrounded by nothing but women.
you're clearly a friend of Chesley Hawkes. What was that to say?
Well, I can only hope that's what they thought, because what was also strange is to people around us is that if you look at it through their eyes, me and you have rocked up, right? We're sitting next to each other. It's only me and you. We're the only geezers there, really. We're clearly in a relationship. To what degree? Who knows? Are we married? Are we just fucking each other? That's the topic of conversation.
You do know kids listen to this show. Right.
So apologies to
and this is the free one as well that goes all over Sky Sports. And we've just been shortlisted for best podcast in the Premier League.
We are the official West Ham representation of Talk Sport on Sky Sports as well. So When they say TalkSport proudly is in association with the West Ham, we're talking about fucking each other now.
And just to break the news, and I didn't want to break it now, but just for the context of the conversation, we have been shortlisted in the Football Content Awards as the best podcast in the Premier League. get your votes in for us if you love talking about blokes fucking, how Dave's into bestiality, how you can't talk, you can't fucking talk about no cunt no more. It's top quality Premier League football production content, this. Like, if we don't win that award, then it's an absolute travesty.
I literally, when you put it like that, I don't even know how we've got a podcast anymore. How are we allowed to say anything publicly? It's fucking mental, isn't it?
Yeah. So please vote for us on the football content. Best Podcast Awards. Well, she'll be putting the link out later. Thank you. Football content being the key part of her.
You get a little bit of that. Oh, fucking hell, that's so funny. But that is the thing, right? So we got to our seat that we haven't had to run to, thank God, and we're sitting there, and I've already sort of told you what other people might be thinking of me and Ed whilst we're standing there. And Chesney smashed it out of the park, right? Now, genuinely, I'm not just saying this. Look, 90s pop is not my thing. It's not my thing. But Chesney and the boys, and I'm not just saying this because I'm biased, they genuinely delivered. It was fucking brilliant. He did really well. But at this point, Bewitched are introduced, and I think, oh, fuck this. I fuck this straight off. So I've gone out, and I've gone for a fag, and they let you out, and you've got to piss about your tickets to get back in and all that. And I've gone out for a fag. And I'm standing there smoking, and there's a small group of birds there, right? And it must have been about three birds next to me, sort of about, I'd say, probably 15 yards away. And I'm smoking, minding my own business. And I could hear one of them say, "Natalie, if I see her now, I swear to God, I'm going to fucking kill her." Right? Again, right? Aggression. The fucking Liverpool is the city of aggression, right? So, as you do, you have one ear on it, didn't you? So you smoke your fag, and you have an invested interest now as to how this is going to pan out. So I'm thinking, fucking hell, is she caught her mate with her boyfriend? Is she doing hardcore drugs? You know, what's the outcome here? So I'm listening, and she said, no, Solf, listen to what I'm about to say to you, right? The way that girl was dancing in front of me, right? I'm fucking telling you straight, I'll fucking kill the cunt. So I'm thinking now, right? Now, I'm already thinking that Liverpool has an irrational fucking, like, ego about it, where you've got to just fucking have a pop at everyone and anything in it. Like, I'm convinced at this point that people of Liverpool could argue with themselves in their sleep. But I'm breaking this down. And I'm thinking, right, so this girl that you're talking about is obviously part of your group of friends. And you've come to a music concert, and you're now talking about murdering one of your mates because she's dancing at said concert. And I'm thinking, fuck me, we've only had Chesney Hawkes and fucking Bewitched. Like, what could go wrong?
And that, you know what you've forgotten from that bit as well, is that before we'd even got out, to have a cigarette, we were walking behind some other girl who went up to the security, because we had to walk quite a long way. Quite a long way to get to the area for smoking. And so you're walking ahead, and you went up to this area where there was another woman talking to a security guard, and you just said to her, "Hello, mate, is there anywhere we can smoke?" And then as you were talking to him, the woman said to me, "Oh, fucking hell, he was going to let me smoke out there until you two cunts turned up." And then she just walked off.
So, honestly, I swear to God. Right, listen, my nickname for Liverpool is Jeremy Kyle's Green Room. Right? to me, that's what Liverpool is. It's the most fucked up place where everyone just wants to have a pop at everyone all the fucking time. Why is everyone so angry all the time?
What about the cigarettes as well, then, before the game? With the bloke in the car park? I'm going to have two of those, fella.
Oh, yeah. So me and X, we've checked out of the hotel. We're walking towards the car with our bags. That's what I mean. Mate, the examples are endless.
And hundreds.
Remember, right? The examples are endless, but we've been there one night. Keep that in mind, yeah? So we're walking with our bags to the car, and this geezer, to be fair, he's quite personable. He's relatively likeable. Come over to us. He's, can I pinch a fag off your lar and all that? It's fucking like typical Scouse Ponce or whatever. So I said, yeah, go on, mate, here you go. So he's smoking, and we're having a chat with him, and we're talking to him about, you know, typical me, really. I've delved in probably deeper than I should have done, gone straight into Hillsborough. And I've said, you know, how does everyone feel about Hillsborough, and to be fair, he made a good case for himself because, you know, at times I can morph into Michael Parkinson and ask some difficult questions. Right?
Sorry about that, Taliban.
Yeah, yeah. but I can, and I like. Do you know what? I think, you know, I like general conversation, small chit-chat, but actually, you know, what I really like is just cutting to the fucking chase in life. Do you know what I mean? And just cutting to the bone and seeing what's what. So I said to him, I said, whilst he's smoking one of my fags, I said, mate, what is it with Scousers? I said, you know, they seem to fucking hate everyone. I said, you know, if we look at Hillsborough, for example, What is the deal there? I said, because obviously it was a massive tragedy and fucking heartbreaking that so many people lost their lives. But what is, and this is my naivety coming through here, I said, what is the sort of, I suppose, the story between the fans and the police and the papers and all that kind of stuff? And to be fair, he, because I've always seen Liverpool as victims, I think, as most of people do, you know, it's never our fault sort of thing. And he said, well, do you know what? He said, when you get that far in a cup, he said, you as West Ham fans, if you think you could get into a ground, you would. And I agree with that because we've done it ourselves. I mean, West Ham fans done it. Where'd they storm X? They stormed turnstiles at, where'd they go?
It was in the Belgium, was it a 13-minute Europa League? And then there was, last year we were at one of them and they did it as well.
That's what I mean. So we can't, as West Ham fans, say that we wouldn't do it and haven't done it, because we have. So I do understand where he's coming from there. And he said, you know, when we stormed into Hillsborough to see the game, he said it was massively overpacked. And I said, well, I said, to be fair, mate, I said, why didn't you go back out then? Like, at what point does a penny drop that there's too many people in there and some good people amongst that group would go back out? And he said, mate, they shut the gates. They wouldn't let us out. And then I'm thinking, fucking hell, this is actually really bad. Like, he is, to be fair, and I'm sure, as his podcast suggests, I'm not the biggest fan of Liverpool and Scousers, but the way he's telling this story, I can actually sympathise with what he's saying. Mm-hmm. And he's saying they wouldn't let us back out again. And if you look at some of the images, which a lot of which were new to me, I mean, X, you knew about these images before I did, and you showed me some of them, and they're fucking heartbreaking. So you've got this, this fucking, you know, and you know, the Sun newspaper. I mean, you told me, X, that Liverpool don't even stock the Sun anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the way they treated them during the Hillsborough disaster. And I think they published headlines about Liverpool fans pissing on other Liverpool fans because they couldn't get out to have a piss or whatever. It was a bit naughty, really. But you got that, and you've got different disasters that come their way. And then, of course, you've got, you know, Thatcher's Britain, because it's well-known fact that Liverpool really were the last city to have received any funding, to received any support. And really, under a Conservative government, Liverpool suffered massively, especially under Thatcher. And I think collectively that's led to them saying, we want to be our own nation. We want to pull away from England. And I've got to say, you know, when I talk about my own experience of Scousers and the time I've spent in Liverpool, my overwhelming feeling really is, fucking let them do it. Fuck them off. I would say, get a small part of maybe Digibooty and let them have that.
A bit harsh on Digibooty, I think.
I feel guilty, to be honest. I feel guilty. I don't want to, you know, but you've got to upset someone. Do you know what I mean? Like, we can't all be winners. And I think, you know, somewhere like Digibooty, I think, where they're well out of the way, where they can fucking beat the shit out of each other for no reason whatsoever, I think would suit Scousers.
How do you feel about the fact that in this podcast award, like, thing they've been nominated for the best podcast? I think, looking at those podcasts there, I would say our biggest rival to winning this award is the Anfield Rap.
Well, first and foremost, I don't think we've got any chance. Because the Anfield rap, when you look at their fan base alone, it's much bigger than West Ham's. So if it's based on a voting system, you've got no fucking chance. Because as much as I love West Ham, as much as West Ham are everywhere globally, we don't compare, sadly, to the global reach of Liverpool. Mm. So, you know, I think it's not a waste of time. And, you know, we could really do with everyone's vote and support, you know, just to give us a puncher's chance. But, yeah, I think if you look at the likes of Liverpool and Man United, for example, there's a hell of a lot of plastic fans. They're not proper fans. They're not from that way. They're glory hunters. You got a lot of fucking, you know, Cockney Reds and all that bollocks. And you got a lot of Liverpool fans that are from all over the place that, you know, don't really care about Liverpool, but they've bought into them because they've got certain players or whatever. They're not proper fans. Whereas with West Ham, we might have a smaller fan base, but if you support West Ham, you fucking support West Ham. You've bought into it. You love it. It's part of your DNA. So I would actually rather be part of a smaller fan base that loves West Ham rather than a bigger fan base where you get a lot of fucking Johnny-come-latelys. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, talking about, and again, we can continue on the unnecessary aggression, by the way. So after the gig...
Have you actually said what the Hillsborough guy said to you about the fags? Or you've just told, like, well, what happened with the Hillsborough stuff?
What do you mean?
Well, why he was unnecessarily aggressive.
Oh, sorry, yeah. I mean, do you want to tell that?
You can, mate. This is your Liverpool rant. I feel like I'm doing justice.
So anyway, we're talking. So he's already ponced the fag off me, right? So I'm talking to him whilst we're having this fag. And, we're talking, like, putting the wells to rights. And we're talking about Hillsborough and the sort of dynamics between Scousers and everyone else and all this sort of stuff. And to be fair, it was a diplomatic conversation. And then all of a sudden it goes to me, and this is the difference, X, between Southerners and Northerners, right? If it's me and I wanted another fag, I'd have gone, mate, I hate to be a pont. I said, but, you know, could you do me a massive favour and just give me one more? Is that all right? I'll even pay you if you want, right? That's my go-to response in a scenario like that, right? Scousers, take this geezer. Now, remember, I've already given him a fag, right? He goes... Out of nowhere, it goes, right, I'll have to take one more of those cigarettes, mate, if that's all right.
I don't think he even said if that's all right.
I don't think he did. No, I think you're right, mate, actually. I think I'm making him look better than he actually was. Yeah. And I'm like, straight away, I'm thinking, what the fuck? Like, is he mugging me now or what? And I looked at my fags and I had two left. And I said to him, mate, sorry, I've got two left. I need these. And then he's like, all right, la, no problem, la. And he fucking walked off. And I thought, do you know what, mate? I can't stomach these cunts. I'll be honest with you. And this is where I'm potentially going to get myself into trouble. And I'm taking a big gamble here, but I'm not a fan of Scousers X, you know.
I'm really not.
And do you know what? It doesn't even end there. I mean, again, remember, we're there one night in Liverpool. One night. And we've already given you all these examples as to why Scousers are fucking mental, right? So after the gig, we've met up with Chesney and his entourage and his family at a hotel for a piss up, yeah? Fucking loveliest people in the world. Loveliest people in the world. So we're having a drink and this, that and the other. And Chesney's son is called Indy, right? Fucking hell. This kid, he's got the world at his feet, X, isn't he? He's a good-looking kid, 17, fucking got personality, probably a few bob behind him or whatever, plays in a band, fucking hell, can you imagine? I'm still wagging into a fucking sock at fucking 17. Anyway.
This podcast, mate.
Well, I'm just being honest.
The Dave Walker Scouse sexual podcast has now taken over the West Ham way. All football content will resume at another date.
I mean, when you actually look at the ratio of football content,
I'm still waiting to talk about the European game.
Oh, God. God, you're right, actually. I better nip this in the bud pretty soon. So, anyway. So, we're on the piss with Chez and his entourage. And it got to about 1:30 in the morning, and Indy, Chesney's son, I said, oh, I fancy Mackie D's, right? I can't stress, right? Loveliest kid on the planet. So me and X were like, we haven't actually eaten, so we could fucking murder a McDonald's or something. So we said, look, right, let's go. And we've gone to the McDonald's and we've sat down, and there's a table next to us of birds, right? And like, you could literally lean over and touch them. I mean, we didn't. But I'm just letting you know sort of spatial ratios here. They were very close to us. And I got a big tasty with bacon because, fucking, I'm not being funny. Why would you go at McDonald's and not get a big tasty in bacon if it's on the menu? X, I don't know what you had.
Fuck knows, mate. I was so drunk at that point.
Yeah, you was banging doubles.
I can vaguely remember going to McDonald's, so God knows what I had. Whatever it was didn't settle the stomach, that's
no. For sure. So I don't know what you had. And then Indy had chicken selects. He had a chicken select meal. Now, he put the disclaimer out as we sat down. He said, guys, he said, I don't want you to think I'm weird, but he said, I dip my chips in my milkshake, my chocolate milkshake. And I'm thinking, do you know what? That's not something I've ever really bought into. But that said, I do understand there is a bit of an underworld cult phenomenon with dipping your chips in milkshake. I mean, even McDonald's on April Fool's Day released the fact that they were going to be producing milkshake dips for chips. And they wouldn't have done that unless everyone was doing it. So I get that. Now, where I became concerned is he then said, and I also put my chicken selects in my chocolate milkshake. And at that point, I'm like, nah, fucking hell, this is mental, right? So we're having this conversation. And these birds on the next table, right, scousers, fucking loud as fuck, as they often are. One of them got up. And she said, and again, like, again, I go back to the Southern and Northern comparison. Like, if I saw someone with a box of chicken selects and I'd never had chicken selects before and I fancied it, I would say to that person, hello, mate, I'm really sorry to interrupt you. I said, I fancy some of them. I've been thinking about getting some chicken selects. Are they any good? Yeah, that's how I would approach it, right? But this fucking scouse bird, she goes, hey, said, that chicken, any good? Right, so Indy's gone, yeah, not too bad. She said, is that proper chicken? So he said, well, I hope so. He said, I've just been eating it for the last 10 minutes. He said, no, you don't understand. He said, is that proper chicken or is it fucking knuckle chicken? And we looked at each other, to say,
I don't remember any of this.
Do you not?
No.
And we looked at each other as if we say, what the fuck is she talking about? She
said, I remember her, but I don't remember this conversation.
Yeah. She said, I said, do what, mate? She said, is it chicken, proper chicken, or is it fucking knuckle chicken? I said, are you talking about a chicken's knuckle being in the chicken? She said, yeah. I said, well, I don't know what they give you up here in Liverpool. I said, but down south, I said, no, I've never experienced that before. She said, right. So is it any good or not? Again, aggressive. Like, just ask me nicely, politely, if Indy's enjoying the chicken. But it's like everything is confrontational all the fucking time. You know what I mean? So whether she actually ended up getting chicken selects, I don't know. But that was a fucking mad experience as well. and I just think, honestly, my overall assumption, not assumption, my overall sort of summary of Scousers is that if they want their own place to live and they won't sing the national anthem and they think everyone's against them and they think they're the fucking victims and they think that fucking, you know, Tory government's fucking terrible and, you know, whatever, just cut them away. Let them do their own thing. Find them an island, maybe even like a small spot on Canvey Island or something where they can just sort of fester amongst themselves and just beat the shit out of each other every day of their lives. Give them like a space, do you know what I mean? Ideally out of the country, to be honest. But My overriding feeling towards Scousers is I think we should fuck them off. And do you know what? You can say that's offensive, but at the end of the day, that's what they want. So I'm not even being disrespectful because that's what they fucking want. So is it
worth also adding a caveat here as to we've been nominated for the podcast awards. Guess where these podcast awards are being hosted?
Yeah, I know.
At Anfield. So we have zero chance of winning this podcast award now.
Yeah. By the way, love Anfield. Anfield's amazing. Yeah, these awards are at Anfield. So we've got to rock up there on the back of this podcast. Which might be a little bit fucking.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So, anyway, let's move on. So, I mean, we was up
what's
with.
What's a football? Fucking hell. Who'd have thought it?
But, I mean, we was up with Chez and the gang till about fucking 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, we was a little bit precious come match day, but. The rest is history. Anyway, we opened up a Europa League campaign on Thursday against Pola. 3-1. What are you laughing at?
It just seems so random to talk about this now after like 20 minutes of Scouse rant.
Yeah, I know. He's a little bit.
Anyway.
Anyway, back at Pola. So anyway, a 3-1 win. I just want to get through this. 3-1 win. I'm reading this now. 3-1 win. A decent win, but did we make hard work of it, X?
Oh, well, do you know what? I absolutely hate Serbians. Now, let me spend 20 minutes telling you why. No, we did make hard work of it. I think the problem was that we actually got complacent with it. I think we started off really well, played some good football. It was really like pleasing on the eye, and it was almost like we thought, all right, these are easy. We'll be able to play our way around, and we'll get a goal, and job be done. Type thing. I think we almost got a bit cocky, and I think that was shown by the mistake by Ogbonna. You know, he just took too long on the ball, felt he could spin around a bit. You know, it's all good. I'm in control here. And obviously, he got robbed, and then we were right back against it, 1-0 down. It would have been a terrible result to lose to them because they're the ones we've got to pick up the 3 points against, although I do think they're better than some people realise. Like, they're smashing the Serbian league at the moment, which has got some good teams in it, but I think it was only at that point the players suddenly thought, right, you know what, shit, we've got to actually start converting some of this good play into chances, and thankfully we did that. You know, kudos scored, I think the first goal's actually been given to him now, so scored 2 goals, Ward-Prowse again creating everything, and it was quite comfortable in the end, but I think complacency was definitely at play for the reason. It took us so long to get going, but you know, we got the win. We got a 2-goal difference in, you know, 3-1. So it was a decent result. Job done. We move on, and we just need to make sure that we don't act so complacently against them next time.
Yeah, I think Carl made a really good point as well. He said, "Do you know what? It would take a mistake from West Ham for them to score."
Yeah, yeah.
Outside of a mistake, they wouldn't have scored. And they got a mistake and they did score. And I think, you know, as well as that, they defended valiantly. They clubbed together. They made it hard to break down. Not saying they parked the bus, but it weren't a million miles off. And it made it quite difficult. And I think we lacked some real quality in that first half. But do you know what? Ultimately, we got the job done, didn't we? That's all that matters.
Yeah, 3 points are on the board. You know, at the end of the day, that we need to get 6 points, I would say, from both those two games. You know, a draw out there wouldn't be the end of the world, depending on other results, but we certainly needed to get 3 points at home against them. You know, the size of the club, I think, was shown by the fact that they only had about 30 fans there. You know, like, fair play to those that turned up. And,
yeah,
you know, credit to them. But also, it does show the magnitude of the difference of of the sizes of the two clubs between us and them. You know, we took 30,000 to Prague or whatever it was. We would take far more to any of these away games if we had bigger allocations. But so it does show the difference in size of clubs, and you know, financially we're much bigger and so on. So we needed to pick up 3 points against them at home, and I would like to think we'd get it away from home as well. If we can pick up possibly the 3 wins at home, then you only need to pick up maybe 1 win away in the European competition, in the 3 games, and a draw maybe, or even just 3 draws or whatever. You know, it would be in the home games, the important ones. We got the 3 points, and we sit top of the leagues already. So we're just going to maintain that, because it'd be really good for us to get into the later stages and win this again, because let's be honest, that is our only route possible to Champions League football. If we're going to take West Ham onto a next level from where we've been before, we've won the Conference League, so the next step up is to either win a domestic trophy, which realistically is not going to be the league, so either the cup, both either one of the cups, or we win the Europa League. And so we need to make sure we take this seriously and have a good league campaign. So it's good that we did get those 3 points on the board. A loss or not a win from that first game would have been a bad start to that campaign. So yeah, happy days, 3 points on the board. Great that Kudos scored a couple. All right, the first one wasn't, don't know how much he knew about that, but the second one was a really good finish. James Ward-Prowse creating constant opportunities for us as per, which is really good. Great debut from Mavropanos. I thought Quetta played well in that game as well. So there was a lot of positives to take out in the end once we got going.
Yeah, can't really add to that, mate. Can't really add to that. Okay, this Saturday sees the dawning of a new era for the West Ham Way pre-match event. Before the Sheffield United game, we will be at the Colour Factory alongside Mad Dog and, awkwardly, Scouser Ian Bishop.
I didn't
even
think of that.
Because of me, he might not turn up. I'm just throwing it out there. But we hope he does. I'm sure he will. And it should be a cracking event. And we hope to see as many of you there as possible. Okay, let's see what X has for us this week.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.